Welcome to Wolfer & Stone's podcast, All Things Property Management, where David Wolfer sits down and chats with industry insiders about all things property management. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of All Things Property Management. Today, I'm joined by Adam Renouf from Renouf & Partners Financial Planning. I've asked Adam to join us today to discuss investing in property through self-managed superannuation funds, with the aim to give you an understanding of what some of your clients may be doing and why they do it this way. Keep in mind, as property managers, it's important that we're not providing financial advice to our clients, but it is also important for you to understand what your clients are considering and why they're considering it, and what signals to look for to refer to a qualified financial advisor for the correct advice. It is a great value add for your service if you refer to the right people at the right time. Along this line, Adam's information today is general and should not be taken as advice to you, as he is not aware of your individual circumstances. Adam's in a unique position to discuss property investment. Many planners steer clear of it and prefer to stay with shares and managed funds. However, Adam has extensive background experience in property, having been in and around the property industry since 1996. After starting in real estate sales, Adam then served as general manager and later CEO of a prominent property investment business at the time, Wholesale Property Brokers, in the early 2000s, then accepting the challenge to establish the investment property division of Oliver Hume as their general manager investment property. After gaining his planning qualifications and working for a financial planner, Adam has now been running Renouf & Partners Financial Planning since 2009. Along with this, Adam is a director of Cumulus. Is that how you say it?
Cumulus, like the cloud.
Cumulus Financial Group, the holder of an Australian Financial Services licence. If you'd like to have some advice from for either yourself or your clients, feel free to give Adam a call or an email. You can get him at adam@renoufpartners.com.au or give him a call on 0428 581 428. Thanks, Adam, for talking to us today.
No, thanks, Dave.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions and you can just talk away with what you've got to say on each of those questions, and hopefully give some right advice to these guys to take with them and value add to their clients.
Awesome, absolutely. And as you said, the most important thing, this is all general advice. There's no specific advice. Always deal with a specialist. Make sure your advice is tailored specifically for you. Self-managed super is an awesome structure, but it is certainly not applicable for all parties concerned.
No, for sure. So maybe, Adam, if we start by finding out what's the best way of describing what a self-managed super fund is?
Well, a self-managed super fund is literally just, it's a superannuation fund which you're in control of. So it's a trust. So because I knew this question was going to come up, I've drawn and I apologise about my art skills, they're actually not too flash, but effectively, if you look at a retail super fund or a normal super fund, there's a proprietary limited company or a corporate trustee, which is run by a series of directors, and that invests, or that has the controlling entity over what gets invested by this trust or this super fund, and everybody is a member underneath it. So that's the same structure, whether that's you as an SMSF or you as a member of a normal super fund or a retail super fund. However, when we talk about a self-managed super fund, there's a main structural difference that we look at. You can sort of see that. So basically, we still have the same corporate trustee, but you'll have two directors of that. And in this example, I've got Fred and Wilma Flintstone. So they are, not only are they the members of the super fund, they are the actual directors of the corporate trustee as well. Vitally important that you have a corporate trustee in place, because you can't be a single person member or a trustee of the super fund. It has to be a corporate trustee. But when people then want to borrow and buy into property, a super fund cannot borrow money. However, a bare trust on behalf of the super fund via a limited recourse loan can do that. So again, Fred and Wilma need to be the corporate trustees of another super fund, another corporate trustee, which invests into the bare trust, which has a relationship with the property and then the bank on behalf of the super fund. So clear as mud, eh?
Oh, it is clear, although, you know, as I said, we don't want this to be overly, or don't need it to be overly clear, just enough information so property managers out there can advise their clients to seek the right advice and have an understanding.
Absolutely.
So how much money do you need to make having a SMSF viable?
Okay, there's been a whole variety of numbers being thrown around over the years about what's applicable and what's not. And the beautiful part, if you want to have a self-managed super fund for property purposes, you need to have more cash because property is increasing in value all the time. So we're saying to our clients now that you probably want to be closer to 250 plus than anything south of that.
Fantastic.
But that is combined. So if it is Fred and Wilma, that is Fred and Wilma combined, not just Fred or then independently Wilma.
Yeah, so it's probably not something for a 21 and a 22-year-old to be looking at. You've probably been a few more years.
Not the people like you and I have got a few grey hairs.
And how much are you able to invest in the property? Is there a limit on percentage of fund?
Technically not. However, you do need to have a diversified strategy. The biggest issue we have with a lot of these type structures at the moment is the lending criteria. COVID-19, Royal Commissions, all those sorts of things have made things tougher. So a lot of the lenders now are wanting probably at least a 10% capital reserve, and at best they're probably lending in the vicinity of about a 55 and 65% LVR. So round figures, if you're going to invest in something for 450 grand, you need to drop 150 as a deposit plus all your legal stamps, et cetera, and then fund the other 300.
Fantastic. Now, you kind of answered this question before. I had down how much can an SMSF borrow, which is technically zero, but through your bear trust and then 65%. So any financial limits?
No, not really. But the most important thing to realise is whilst people might be paying sub 3% on a residential loan, for the identical product, the identical property held by a self-managed super fund, you'll probably be in the fives.
Okay.
Now, we all love banks. Now, to the kindness of the heart, banks generally charge you more for a self-managed super fund because they can.
It's probably got something to do with people aren't really seeing the money, so they're not overly concerned about it.
Correct.
So why should you look at investing through an SMSF and not investing personally in property?
Well, great question. And in our honest belief, the argument over the years has been, do you do it in your own name or do you do it in a super fund? The answer is both. So we believe in a sawtooth approach where you'll do some outside of super and some inside of super. Predominantly, people do it outside super for tax advantage and capital gain. The same reason people do it inside super, they do it for tax advantage and capital gain. If you hold a property inside super, or if you hold any asset inside super, post-preservation, for most of us, that's going to be 60, 65. You're actually becoming a capital gains tax-free environment. So the implication is massive. You can also generally hold, because the tax implication is not as good, more of an older type and style property where if you want to hold it in your own name, you obviously want newer property for better tax credits.
Yeah, for sure. So can any of the money in an SMSF and can any of the property be accessed before retirement?
Absolutely not.
That's exactly what I thought you'd be saying. That leads on to the next question. If you can't access it before retirement, can the beneficiaries of the superannuation, can they use the property personally, whether it be a permanent home or a holiday home?
Okay. And again, generally, the answer is absolutely not. So the CISAC superannuation law says there's got to be an arm's length transaction. So not only can you not use it, you can't buy an apartment opposite Melbourne Uni for your kids to use when they're at uni. You can't have an Airbnb and go and use it yourself, those type of things. There is an exception to that rule, and that's commercial property. So you might be a mechanic. You might be able to buy your own workshop via your own super fund and actually lease the workshop, your business work leases the workshop from your own business. That's a business real exception. And again, everybody needs to get independent tax advice and legal and structural advice around that as well. But the business real is the only exception. The property manager might want to buy their, or real estate agent might want to buy their office that they work from and put it into a self-managed super fund.
Okay, just to add on to that question, then would that need to be done with the business as a company or could you do it as a sole trader?
So generally most people would be in a company type structure at that point in time because of a few other benefits, and I'm sure people will be able to get independent tax advice on that as well. But and again, for those levels, we generally find they're a little bit older people and have a greater level of independent diversification and sophistication.
Fantastic. So can expenses for the property, like your rates, insurances, so forth, be paid from the rent in a SMSF environment?
Absolutely, they can be. And all fees associated with the property inside a self-managed super fund have to be paid by the super fund. So a classic example is if you had rates and you paid with them in your own personal credit card, there would be the auditor, because the self-managed super fund needs to get audited by an ASIC-approved auditor once a year, would need to see a paper trail of you paying from the super fund to reimburse that payment. Otherwise, technically, that is an additional contribution that goes into super, and then depending on that person's income or superannuation guarantee contribution, can lead to a breach, which is then taxed at 48.5 cents in the dollar, so quite a substantial penalty.
Not a problem. So you need to be getting advice properly all the
Absolutely.
Way through this.
Right advice, right structure.
Yep, fantastic. You mentioned you need to get it audited once a year. Do you also, as part of that audit or part of any other requirement, need to have the property valued regularly?
Absolutely. So the structure or the auditors that we use, they like it done every 2 years. And just, again, so the right advice along the way, the right advice in establishment, but also the ongoing admin audit and compliance, that's the important part. In the world of pain, we talk about God, ASIC, the ATO, then Victoria Police. And ASIC and the ATO are the people who you need to be responsible to for corporate trustee and obviously for self-managed super when it comes down to the structure and the compliance for your super fund.
Yeah, I think most of the guys that we're talking to here in property management have heard a bit about ASIC over the past 6 months with them coming down hard on us, making sure we're not providing advice when we shouldn't be.
Correct, absolutely.
So what do you perceive to be any of the benefits, if any, for property managers with clients doing this?
Generally, well, one of the massive advantage. Well, I think one of the massive advantages would be for a property manager is anybody who has one of these entities inside a self-managed super fund is the longevity that they're going to have it for. Where whilst it's in your own name, people have their day-to-day expenses, might have death, divorces, babies, whatever, and their income can change, so their lifestyle requirements change. They might move that property on exit super. If they've got it inside super, if they're a PAYG employee, their employer is paying 9.5% of their income into superannuation, which helps fund the property. And effectively, this will be a set and forget strategy for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of their life.
Fantastic.
So no churn in rent roll, basically.
Yep. And from an investor's point of view as well, it's money they don't really see. So they're not having to dig into their own pocket to find it. So they should be stressing to property managers when they can't pay their mortgage.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Fantastic. Look, is there anything else that would be worthwhile the guys knowing?
I actually put a couple of specific rules down. So most important part, this is general advice, not specific advice. You always need to make sure you get specific financial advice and also tax advice around this. But like when you only want to deal with a professional landlord, as a professional property manager, you want to deal with a professional mortgage broker as well, because it all comes down to the right structure. So anybody who wants to manage these things themselves, we tell them they're crazy. It's all tax deductible. Make sure it's all done properly. It's much, much easier for you to get your property manager to go to VCAT and turf out Aunt Bell than do it yourself, right? So it's all about structure, 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 structure. But the rules are specific. We went through the arm's length rule, but even another classic example is inside a super fund, you're allowed to do repairs, but you're not allowed to do substantial improvements. So if the tenant damages your bench top, you can replace the bench top, but you can't put an extension on the back of the house. Conversely, you can't actually fund a house and land package as a construction purpose for a self-managed super fund, because that is the two-part contract and it breaches the CISA. So there's a whole variety of rules, regulations, and those other type of things. And whilst they're a magnificent structure, they are certainly not the perfect entity for all parties concerned.
So when you talk about not being able to do improve it in any great way, what about things as simple maybe as adding on to it an air conditioning unit or something like that? Can you do that?
Yeah, generally those type of things are regarded as repairs rather than improvements. But if you had a deck out the back and you wanted to enclose that in and make it another bedroom, they're generally what would regard as a breach.
Okay, not a problem. One more question I think from me, which I'm going to throw at you without warning, although we did speak about it previously, is cross-securitisation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So how that works with this.
Okay, so when we come back to my beautiful little structure here, This is the property is here. Basically, a chunk of capital needs to come out of here and secure this asset. At no other point can that be cross-securitized to anything else. So if you wanted to buy a second property inside Super, we need to duplicate this structure and put it over this side. So the easiest way to describe that is if you do it in your own name, you've got a couple of hundred grand in equity, you use that equity to secure the other property. Inside Super, we basically need another chunk of $200,000 or $300,000 to be able to do that for the second entity in there.
Yeah, so they're really separate businesses.
Absolutely. So they've got to be a limited recourse loan for that purpose.
Yeah, fantastic. So anything else you think that's worthwhile telling the guys?
Great structure, great time to do it. The market's obviously copped a bit of a kick in the teeth and, you know, bad press doesn't sell newspapers, so they're trying to smash the property market at the moment. But we certainly have clients a lot happier that they're in property than they are in some of the other asset classes that have copped it a bit in recent times.
Fantastic. Well, look, Adam, thanks very much for joining us today. You've given us some really excellent information for our property managers to digest out there. Once again, for any of you that would like some advice for yourself or clients, don't hesitate to contact Adam. You can get on to him at adam@renoufpartners.com.au. So that's Adam at renoufpartners.com.au, or give him a call on 0428 581 428. If you haven't been able to get those details down, you can always get in touch with me and I'll put you on to Adam. He is based in Geelong, but is happy to travel around, so you can speak to him anywhere. Once again, Adam, thank you for your time and the information.
Thank you for listening to this episode of All Things Property Management. We'll have another one for you in the near future. We hope you've enjoyed this one and got a lot out of it. In the meantime, all property managers out there, please remember that if you need help, please feel free to call our PM helpline 1300 641 355. Thank you.